I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Do you remember what it's like to be 22? At that age, many of us don't have a lot of weighty responsibilities, at least I didn't. And that's how it was for Kevan Fagan at 22, living with his parents and taking a break from his part-time job at Best Buy. Then he was chosen to serve on a jury, the jury that heard the case of Boston Marathon bomber Johar Tsarnaev and ultimately sentenced him to death. Fagan says what happened in that courtroom changed the way he looks at the world. He remembers how he felt on the day in June when Tsarnaev stood up in court to admit his guilt.
You ever have, like, your stomach just drop, you know, because, like, something so shocking happens? That's pretty much the sensation I was feeling that whole time.
Fagan says throughout the trial, he saw things he could relate to in the life of 21-year-old Tsarnaev.
I definitely saw some of the young adolescent kid. There's no getting around that just by the nature of his age and me kind of remembering where I was when I was like 19, 20 years old, just kind of being a little bit more rebellious and not being so thoughtful and being a little haughty or staunch. It reminded me a little bit of myself. But he still did that act. He put a bomb down and during the marathon. And so, you know, there was that whole other side too.
And just seeing him in the courtroom day after day, talk about that.
Yeah. I kind of saw him as like a disheveled, frail sort of person, especially for his age. You know, most people, you know, you kind of see a little bit of a glow around them. And I definitely think life has taken its toll on him. He does not look very vibrant or vital. He definitely looked like a kid that was existentially lost.
Since 2013 and the marathon bombing, we've seen the full-on brutality of groups like ISIS. Do you put Mr. Tsarnaev and ISIS in the same category?
No. I think there's a difference between a disgruntled, lost kid and a group such as ISIS.
You sat in judgment of a suspect in a terror case.
Yes.
And not just any terror case, a terror case that was judged in civilian court as opposed to the majority of terror cases which are being judged very slowly in Guantanamo and military tribunals.
Sure.
How much was that on your mind, that this is a different kind of terror case?
Actually, at the time, I really didn't know much about how cases like this were tried. It wasn't really until after I did just a little bit of short reading about how this was one of the first terrorist cases being tried in a civilian court. And maybe it was to show that, you know, issues like this could be handled in the civilian sector. And it didn't really feel like something overly historic in the process. It was just, you know, kind of what it was to me as I was going through it. But now in retrospect, a couple months after, I realized, wow, this is actually a really large thing to happen.
A number of things have emerged since the end of the trial that you did not know about.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the family of the youngest bombing victim, Martin Richard, they wrote an essay for the Boston Globe saying they did not want Tsarnaev executed. That wouldn't ease their pain, a life sentence they felt would avoid the appeals process of a death sentence. And a life sentence means they probably wouldn't hear of Tsarnaev again. It seemed to make sense. But you didn't know that at the time, did you?
No, I did not know that at the time.
Had you known that at the time, how would that have changed your decision when you were impaneled with the jury? Because it had to be unanimous.
Yeah. I mean, if I had known that at the time, I don't think I'd be on the jury. It's very simple. You know, I think that would have been ground for mistrial because that would have meant I would have, you know, gone out of my way to kind of research things. And that was definitely a big no and definitely something I did not want to violate in the process, during the process.
Still very interesting, though, that you heard the news after the trial ended and it really affected you.
Yeah, of course. Obviously, realizing that they wrote that for their own wants and needs is very important. And had I known that, would I have thought maybe a little bit differently? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tsarnaev's defense team says he deserves a new trial in another city far from Boston because jurors, like you, could not be objective given the outrage in the Boston area. What do you think about that?
I think it's their job and their right to ask for an appeal based on that. That's what they were asked to do, to defend this man and to try to get him the most fair possible shot at justice. But I think wherever you go, especially with the internet and social media and exposure across the country, it'd be really hard to find one group of people that really knows nothing, essentially.
Kevan, do you still see Johar in your mind periodically? And, you know, what box does he kind of fall into in your head when you think about him?
Yeah, I do. I do still see Mr. Tsarnaev. And, you know, I kind of see him in a, you know, lost soul sort of like box, I guess is the best way to put it. And, you know, unfortunately, he did a very heinous act and hurt a lot of people. So all that kind of just goes into that.
I gather you're going through some counseling, which seems totally normal for That's somebody correct. Who's been through what you've been through. But what do you hope to achieve? I know it's a very personal question.
Oh, especially the first few sessions that I had was just more kind of speaking about like some of the things that I saw and heard and my own decision and becoming a little bit more comfortable with why I did it. And I spoke a little bit to that. Now, my few counseling sessions and having a little bit of time to kind of decompress and think about life, just kind of seeing where all this fits in my future.
Kayvon Fagan, now 23 years old, he was the youngest juror in the trial of Boston Marathon bomber Johar Tsarnaev. He's writing a book about the experience with Amir Bavar.